So this episode is strictly storytelling. Sam and I, we met up a couple times, but just wasn't meant to be. This weather's throwing everything off, so what a perfect time for storytelling, right? I've seen that the language department's doing one, which I highly encourage you to watch. It's a virtual storytelling. Been to a few at the Long Room, and they are really cool, so definitely give Neely a watch on that, okay? It's pretty awesome. So I am going to do this podcast strictly storytelling. Then the next few podcast episodes, we're actually going to have a couple. We're going back to our guest speakers, which I know I keep saying it, and we just keep having to put everything off due to, seems like everything comes up. I got sick. I had a broken bone. The snowpocalypse, right? So let's see what happens next. Come on, 2021. But, so we just want to thank y'all guys for coming in, listening to the show. Go back and check our previous episodes if you miss any. And if you want to holler at us, just send us a link to the email, hit us up on Facebook, or whatever you want to do. If you want to be a guest, you know where to find us. This story is called Nimekiwagon, Thunderbolt. Many years ago, a young man went out to hunt early one morning. Coming on noon, he got hungry and started back to camp. In passing a pine stub that had been struck by lightning, he saw something stick out of the tree where the lightning hit. It kind of looked like a green crystal, right? He pulled down and looked at it. It was about 2 fingers broad and about 1 hand long. He put it back again in the tree exactly as he found and went on. When he came to camp, he told his father about it, and his father and several other men. Together, they went back to examine it. First, his father stopped and tried to pull it out. He couldn't pull it out. A couple other men, they tried to pull it out. Some of the warriors from the camp, they came up, and they tried to pull it out, and no one could pull it out. So finally they went to the chief, and the chief came down and examined it. He couldn't pull it out. But the young boy, he went back to it in front of the whole circle of warriors, bent down, and he pulled it out. So then he wrapped it up. Whatever this crystal sphere was, you could tell people hours before when a storm was going to come, so they knew how to make camp. The man also had a dream that he could split trees by pointing it at him, but he never tried it. He didn't want to split the trees. He kept it for many years, but then one day he lost it before he died. He died unmarried, and his name was forgotten. It was shiny and quivering, and nobody knew what it was made of. No one knew what to call it. No one could make up a name for it. The bear woke one spring and off he went. As luck would have it, he met a fox. Apparently this fox was dragging a string of fish. Where did you get them? Oh, in the lake. You ought to fish. Isn't it plain that I do not have a hook? Oh, just put your tail in the water. You'll not believe how many fish you'll be sticking to it. Anxious to catch fish, the old bear set out across the ice. Then he made a hole in it and set his tail down in the water. He sat there all night. In the morning, he yanked his tail there, believing that there might be a huge number of fish attached to it. He yanked his tail suddenly. They say that he went sliding along the ice, but soon he started sensing something around the area of his posterior, as if bees were stinging him. When he turned to look, he saw that there were no fish. There was also no tail. So he went back to take a look at the hole in the ice, and he saw his tail there. It was weaving, they say, very much as a river menders. However, there was no fish. Only then did he realize that he had been tricked by the fox, so he went on a search for him. All during the spring, he went looking for that fox. Then one afternoon, he saw him in the distance running along a ridge. And at this opportunity, he said, "Fox, I'm looking for you. I will catch you, and you can be sure. When I do, I'll kill you for what you did to me." "Oh, you can't catch me," the fox taunted. "It would be actually better," replied the bear, "if we were to fight tomorrow. I'll meet you here." Agreed, said the fox. Feel free to bring your friends also, for myself I will be alone. You should be the one looking to bring friends, remarked the fox, if you have any, that is. Oh, this angered the bear. He was very mad at the fox's words. And like that, he was gone, and the fox left at the same time. Soon the fox met a lynx. He goes, excuse me, are you a good fighter? Am I a good fighter? Said the lynx. That's all I do. It's unbelievable how well I fight. Well, instantly, this lynx made off for deer. He killed it without any difficulty, gored it, and tore it. This is how I fight. The bear is going to make war on us, said the fox. Would you be able to help us? Of course. I alone will defeat the bear, said the lynx, and I'll drive him off. That was that. They set out together, but the lynx limped and lurched as he walked. Soon they met a skunk. Are you a good fighter? Asked the fox. Of course. How do you fight? The skunk turned around and demonstrated. This is how I fight. I would drive anyone away, no matter who. A bear is going to fight us, said the fox. You included. Will you help us? So the three of them went till they met a porcupine. Would you fight? Asked the fox. I'd rather not, said the porcupine. But nevertheless, if I did, no one would bother me. Whenever I'm cornered, I roll up in a ball and I whip my tail and I can drive anyone away. You should really go on ahead, the fox said to the lynx. So they went in search of the bear. First was the lynx, followed by the skunk, after that was the porcupine, and last was the fox. Now where the bear himself had gone, he saw the wolf. Okay, said the bear, I'm ready for the old fox. The wolf agreed to help him. I have a grudge against him too, said the wolf. They went their way and they met a rattlesnake. Would you come too? Asked the bear. We're going to make war on this fox. The sound of this pleased the snake. Now, said the bear, I'll climb over there and I'll watch. Snake, you'll lie and wait over there. If you hide over beyond yonder, when they're about to arrive, you'll strike the one who leads. As for myself, I'll come down. Understood? By this time, the others were nearly there. From his lookout, the bears first assumed, hey, here they come. How many are there? One of them asked. What do they look like? Well, the warrior is leading, picking up rocks. It's hard to guess, but his bag is very full. The other warrior, his club is unbelievable. It's black and also white. As for his other one, I don't recognize, but it's hard to imagine the number of arrows he's carrying. Oh, last the old fox. As soon as he heard the warrior's carriage tick, the snake made his way to a hole and disappeared down it. The wolf was afraid when he heard another carried stones. When the lynx, skunk, porcupine, and fox finally appeared on the rise, the rattlesnake gasped for my bear's tail gave off a faint ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Believing the rattle would be a signal, the wolf decided to attack. He burst out from his ambush, but as he did, he collided with the lynx, who mauled him. The wolf began to howl. The bear lumbered down from his perch, but because he's coming down backwards, he wasn't quite sure where he's going. He collided into the porcupine, who was climbing a tree, collided with the bear. Hi-ya! There's only one thing to do. He ran away, as did the other wild animals in other directions. And this was the last time that the animals ever fought. All right, we'll be right back after this short minute. And if you want to, if our listeners want to support the mission, I guess, of Sam and myself, feel free to go to our webpage. It's anchor.fm/MNO-NIKAN. You can find us on Spotify or whatever to help support us. Just go to our webpage, click support, and a couple options will pop up. You know, it's amazing how far 99 cents will go to two guys like us, right? So, hopefully right now we're actually trying to get money, do some traveling, because I really want to go up north and, really get some good stuff going. So, thank you in advance, Miigwech. All right, back to the show.
An amush, a meek, a binamushin. Dog, bring me a beaver. A certain old woman had a dog. Now it was said that this dog had the ability to speak. Moreover, he understood humans. The old lady lived alone. Supposing that she talked to her dog, he understood remarkably well. Every morning, by force of habit, the dog went hunting. He brought back all kinds of meat, moose, deer, mink, all kinds of things, fish, birds. This woman ate all the time. She was never hungry. And the Anishinaabe knew about this talking dog. From time to time, they'd come visit him. The dog would simply lie there, unspeaking. They spoke to him, but the dog never replied. It also proved useless to offer him food. He could not be tempted in the slightest. One day, the old woman remarked to her dog, I have a powerful craving for beaver. That's all she said. but she drew no attention whatever from the little dog. He was asleep. A week had passed. She goes, I really want some beaver dog. And the dog just ignored her. He just laid there. You know, probably just curled up by the fire, just saying, whatever. More and more time passed, and the old woman spoke to the dog. Dog, get up. Get me beaver. I want a beaver. It's been over a decade since I eat a beaver. You don't got to go far. Just go get me a beaver. Once again, the dog was not interested. He ignored the woman. A little while later, the old woman demanded again, did you not hear me? I said, get me a beaver. I'm tired of eating moose, deer, and trout. Personally, I wouldn't mind some moose, deer, or trout, right? But anyway, so the old woman's like, I need a beaver, now go get it. So the old woman got a stick, and she goes, see this? Get me a beaver. But the dog just looked at her. So she got mad and started beating the dog. And then the dog looked at her and said, watch out, take care. The woman said, don't bother me, away with you. It was not long before the old dog dragged home, what do you call it? A beaver, right? The woman was singing as she skinned the beaver. And the dog, first part, only said, watch out, take care. When she finished cooking the beaver, she enjoyed eating. As she ate, she threw little bones to the dog. And he said, for your own good, take care. The more she ate, the better the old woman enjoyed her food. She ate quickly. But soon, a little small bone lodged in her throat. She screamed and screamed, please help me, please help me, something's happening. The dog looked at her and said, I told you so, I told you so. I guess I won't be eating beaver. Sounds kind of like iffy, ouchy, right? Small bones, ugh. Now, this is an interesting story. We're going to talk about mermaids. I mean, it kind of makes sense, right, that the Anishinaabe, being up north around the Great Lakes, there should be mermaids, right? And I'm not talking about the ones involving Cher. All right. This is a very old story. It concerns those who came to work. It was a little Wikiwimi cog that they were having to disembark. The Anishinaabe drummed near the far shore. For some reason, they prayed, it is assumed. They built a small church on the far shores. As you can tell, I'm reading. I don't think they really built what we'd call a church, but that's how I got translated in the story. Well, maybe so, because it says there's a bishop who used to pass there in that distance, but barely in view of some object that twinkled like a star. What is that? They asked. One time, they said the bishop passed through the waters there. He goes, I want to take a brief look at the church. Let us stop there for a while. Forthwith, the captain changed the ship's course as a large vessel. And this is the first time that the Anishinaabe saw them. Without doubt, they're afraid. They have fled somewhere to the States. This was supposed to be the time they saw the boat change course. This is how he described it. He told me. At once it said, an old woman ran back. She was silently making a din. Go back, go back. Soldiers are arriving. They are everywhere. The old woman created an uproar. They all fled inland. Women, children, everyone was there. The priest saw the commotion on the shore, decided not to disembark. Everyone had fled inland. We're going to be taken or killed. That's why they fled inland. Only later did he realize what had happened. The priest himself might tell the story. It was known as O-Town. The bay was there. There was a small lake situated there. The place where the waters flowed, where the boats came in, was narrow. That's where the Anishinaabe camped. It was there that they saw the mermaids for the first time. Mermaids helped the Anishinaabe. It got to be impossible for the Anishinaabe to go anywhere without the mermaids following. It was that night when the mermaids appeared. So there we have it. Mermaids. I think that might be your first Native American mermaid story. So soak that in. They probably don't look like the way Hollywood imagines them, right? But again, they might. Who knows? Many years ago, a man went into the woods to hunt. It came up on a storm, and he took a line for camp. It came on worse, and he crawled under a projecting pine tree. He saw the lightning strike several trees. He looked very closely at them. He saw a little man, and looking at the trees, he saw another. But these little men were fine little fellows, all black and shining, and are called Nimakaki. They climbed up in the air as if they were climbing ladders and disappeared. After that, more lightning came down. These little men set lightning at the trees and made thunder. Thunder and lightning keep the monsters down on the land and the lakes. These monsters live in hills near lakes. They have underground passages to the water and sometimes can be seen in the morning. One of the monsters lives in the hill just north of where the old Indian's portage from Lake Simcoe enters West Bay.
Another lives in the hill at Atherley Roma Reserve, Lake Kaching. Another lives up in North End Lake, whose name is now forgotten. Thunder and lightning kill these monsters. Well, that's interesting. So that kind of reminds me of Little People, right? You know, if you're familiar with Little People, different stories, little tricksters, or you can only see them in the woods. And that's kind of what that story sounds like, but it says lightning and thunder kill them. Very interesting. Oh, and this story is, I guess it'll be for Sam, right? What the dog did. So, a long time ago, all the animals spoke to each other. Without exception, they understood each other. They also understood the Anishinaabe, and the Anishinaabe understood the animals. As time passed, the Anishinaabe found life difficult. Aha, we must go hunting, they said. This is the one you'll hunt, another said. You seek out the bear to kill him. A deer for you, a duck for you, a wolf for you. The leader assigned an animal to each of them. Soon enough, the Anishinaabe had to kill the wild animals. The animals were offended, so they held a council. Why is it that they're always killing us? One of them asked. Only that they might themselves live, replied another. Some of us have become fewer. There's not sufficient number among all of us. Take, for example, the deer. He's nearly gone to extinction. The Anishinaabe ought to not kill the deer now. They need to wait till they're more numerous. Another spoke to the wolf. You were killed by them, and you kill only the sick of the wild animals that will survive. When you see Anishinaabe, you will yell how to let us know that he's approaching. Bear, you too are become fewer numbers. No longer simply wait for them to come. Go and hide. And you, beaver, when you see him coming along, strike the water so that we'll know he's near. Birds, when you see him, cry out. The dog sit there saying nothing but listening. Aha. I'll help the Anishinaabe. I'll go tell him. So the animals adjourned the council. The birds flew off. The ducks took flight. The bear, the beaver, the wolf, the fox, all of them left. The dog went back to the Anishinaabe. Do you want to know something? Today, you're not going to find anything when you go hunting. Well, how's that? Asked one of the Anishinaabe. Well, the animals held a meeting today, and that's what they decided. Apparently, there are too few. Some of them, it seems you're killing them all off in order to eat, so I've come to tell you. What do you want in return? The dog said, I'll tell you later. With that, the dog left. It's indeed true. They went out, they found nothing. What shall we do? We cannot see a wild animal anywhere, not one. They are hidden. Another spoke, said, the reason why the animals were here is so we could eat, so that we could live. We must find them. In time, the animals held a council. The owl, who was the leader, spoke first. I do not see quite well during the day, but it's unbelievable how well I see at night. The Anishinaabe are doing things differently. He waits for us to sleep, then catches us. He kills us still. Someone is revealing something. Someone is a spy. Otherwise, he'd never be able to find us where we sleep. Someone takes him there. The dog said on and on. He said nothing. The skunk observed this dog. He knew that the dog was listening carefully, but saying nothing. Eventually, the dog left before the animals finished the meeting. The skunk decided to speak with the wolf. Did you see that? The dog sneaked out of here while we were speaking. Tell the others, replied the wolf. I'll keep an eye on him, see where he might be going. The wolf left. As instructed, the skunk alerted everyone present. Meanwhile, the dog ran directly back to the Anishinaabe, and the wolf followed. He prowled nearby and was able to hear the dog's conversation with them. This is what the dog said. You're killing too many of them in the places where I send you. Kill only one at a time, not two, not three. And that way, no one will know much more. Well, what do you want for helping us? As before, you're not committed. I'll tell you later. The wolf set out once upon hearing all this. The wild animals were still meeting when he returned. It is the dog who's helping the Anishinaabe kill us. It is the dog who leads them. At this point, the dog returned. He goes, I don't think anybody saw me leave, so he snuck back in. Ha, remarked the owl. We have here someone who is killing us. He himself is not doing the killings, but he helps. Nevertheless, he is responsible. You dog, said the bear, for what you're doing, no wild animal will ever again go to you. From now on, you'll not be understood. No wild animal will understand you. Not even the Anishinaabe will understand you. You will lose your speech. When you come near, everyone will leave. Or as long as you live, no one will approach you. Ever. If you try to talk, nobody will understand. But you will understand. And the Anishinaabe are not going to treat you well. He'll feed you scraps, what he leaves after eating. So as long as you live, you'll depend on him to look after you. He'll kick you. He'll make you work. For as long as you live on this earth, You will suffer. At some future date when the earth comes to the end, only then will you stop suffering. That's what happens today. The dog understands human beings. The wolf tries to kill the dog wherever he meets him. If the dog happens to wander about near the forest, a lot of animals will go elsewhere. If the Anishinaabe has a dog, he makes him work. The dog carries burdens, he draws a sled, all kinds of things. And he eats whatever leftovers. If the dog is in the way for any length of time, we kick him. As I can picture Sam right now kicking his weenie dogs because they're rolling around in his cokes. So, right? Them dogs. This right here is probably one of my favorite stories. It's a story that sometimes we don't talk about, we talk about. And basically it's about the Starved Man, right? Am I talking about the song? Alright, so the story happens a long time ago. Like hundreds and hundreds, hundreds, like 600-700 years ago. Which really is not that long, but it's long. There were 500 or 600 who lived in a place that was called Pine Plains. They had a big time there. One day, two of them walked up and looked around the plains. At the distance, they saw someone sitting on the grass. This was a man who they went to see. When he put up his hand to keep them back, they stopped and looked. After a while, he spoke. He says, "I don't belong to this land. I dropped from above yesterday, so I am here now." The men invited the Starved Man to the place where he lived. "Yes, you go home and clean the place where I'll stay, and I'll come back again. Then I'll go with you in a few days." The men went home and told the people about it. They began to clean the place where they were to keep the Starved Man for 2 days, and they went to go get him. The Starved Man was a good-looking man, clean, and he shined brightly. At sundown, he looked up to the skies as if he was watching, waiting for something. "Just after dark," he said, "in 2 days, I'll return to the sky. Something will come down to take me there." He told them that where he came from, he was running. There was an open place and he couldn't stop running. So he got in and dropped down. The next day he said it was good country where he lived and that everything was good. "And tomorrow at midnight I'll return to the stars. All you must be home to watch me leave." Just after midnight the next day, he looked up and said, "It's coming. It's coming." Everyone looked up but they couldn't see nothing. The man who had kept the Starved Man at his home could see well. He saw something like a bright star shining high up. The other people couldn't see anything until it came near the ground. This was the most beautiful thing ever seen in the world. Two men got a hold of it and pulled it down hard. The Starved Man entered it, and it rose into the sky. The Starved Man was gone. So, that's the story of the Starved Man. So, like I said, thanks for listening to this very short, storyful podcast, right? We'll go back to some full-length ones when we have our guest coming on. I know Sam's in the works with quite a few people right now as we speak to line them up for the future podcast. And we just want to thank you for listening. Hope everyone's been staying safe in the snowpocalypse, right? And so, Bama P.